Well, I'd like to begin the sermon slot by giving my thanks to so many people who've worked really hard to make Easter happen here at St. Mary's Church, both in the performance of music, in welcoming people, in preparing and decorating our building, in doing food and coffee and so much more besides. People who I'm sure by now, this is the fourth service we've hosted today, feeling just a tad tired. But on the day of resurrection, a new life, feeling tired by the end of it is probably not a surprising thing. I should imagine those on the first Easter felt absolutely exhausted, as they'd been through an emotional, spiritual assault course over many days. And now the hope was beginning to spring forth that Jesus was actually alive. And I can't help wondering if there's some disciples almost, here we go again. Exhaustion, tiredness. Space and peace were needed. But of course, the reason they were tired was because they were emotionally involved with the whole process of what was going on. For Jesus, for them, was not some far-off figure in stained glass or wood, but a living, breathing person whom they had known and loved and shared great moments with. The stories of Easter invite us to join in, to use our imagination to become part of the story. There's a lovely grammatical technique called the ellipsis, not a Greek theological word, a word with Greek roots by the sounds of it, often portrayed by dot, dot, dot in a text. Words are deliberately left out to invite you, the reader or the hearer, to fill in the gap yourself, to imagine what fits in that place in the story. It happens almost incidentally throughout the Old Testament. Old Testament Hebrew was one of the first written languages. And like many of the early written languages, it's not totally a written language. It relies on an oral tradition. In ancient Hebrew, there were no vowel symbols. And one word can look much like another word if you're only left with the consonants. Think how it would work in English. Think how it would work with your name if you only had the consonants. To read it and understand it required an understanding of the greater story, and inevitably led people to debate and argue and to fill in the gaps. And that carries on into the New Testament, where many stories in effect use the ellipsis to draw the reader, the hearer, into that story. Think to that first miracle of Jesus in public, the wedding at Cana in Galilee. And shock horror, the wine runs out. It's embarrassing for the family who are hosting this great event. The whole community is invited. It'll take them years to live it down. And Jesus is persuaded to intervene. He orders the servants to fill these jars with water from the well. Now, these guys know what they're doing. They've probably served at many weddings. Mr. Cohen's wedding and bar mitzvahs catered for. And they carry these jars of water to the host of the wedding for him to taste. There's a gap between them filling the water and the host saying this is the best wine he's ever tasted. And in that gap is the ellipsis we're allowed to use our imaginations. I wonder where the miracle happened. I wonder if these guys were carrying these jars of water thinking, I know it's water in here, it's only water. Then they're going to be very, very disappointed when we pour out this water. I wonder when they actually poured water from the jars into the cup, was it still water? At what point did the miracle happen and everything change? Or later on, in the feeding of the 5,000, a few small loaves and fishes are broken up and put into baskets to be taken out to this great crowd. It is just not going to be enough. I'm sure we've all done it, haven't we? A few extra people have turned up for dinner. And we look at the dish we have to serve. I'm thinking, that's going to be a bit tricky doing that for eight people when I only cooked it for four. And I can imagine Peter there with his basket. He goes up to the first person and he reaches in and gives them some food. And that's okay because he knows he's got some food. But he rubs around for the second person. There's a bit there too. But then he comes to the third one. This guy's big and he looks hungry and he looks mean. And yet somehow there's enough food for him. And for the one after. And the one after that. And the one after that. It's wonderful to fill in the gaps of the story to work out how they may have developed and happened. All we know is Jesus took fish and loaves and blessed them and broke them. And the next thing we know, everyone is fed and there's so many leftovers. It's getting a little bit ridiculous, frankly. And then we have that greatest ellipsis of all. Jesus is dead. His broken body is taken down from the cross and it's placed into a tomb and the door is sealed with a stone. A guard is set. And 3 days later, the women go to the tomb. And we don't know what happens. We don't know how things have changed. For the stone that was in front of the door is now to the side of it. The body that was on the stone shelf is now absent. In Matthew's gospel, there's a rumbling, maybe an earthquake, but nothing is actually seen. There's no account of Jesus opening his eyes and saying, "What day is it?" Of him walking out of the tomb and encountering anybody. It's just not there. There is a gap, an ellipsis, for us to engage our minds, our hearts, our imaginations. And I think it's right and proper that the Bible's stories are shot through with these ellipses. They demand that we engage with them at more than an academic level, more than a marginally curious, at a distance level. They demand that we make them personal. How will we fill in these stories? How will you fill in the story of Easter? That gap between Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning. It's up to you. The story of Scripture invites us into a personal dialogue with God. It invites us to use our hearts, our minds, our imaginations and discover the one who is behind the story and woven through the story and in the story and speaks from the story. I hope that is something you have been able to do over this Holy Week. And if you haven't, just do it now. Do it as you go home. Do it as you ponder on the stories that are so familiar and yet have so many gaps in them, inviting you to engage with that story and place yourself in it. The story of Easter can be your story too, if you will allow it to be. Or you can close that holy book and put it back dusty on the shelf. Leave it there for next Easter or maybe for Christmas. The choice is yours. Amen.